3, 1.
Thank you.
Thank you. Wonderful. Yeah. Thank you so much. How did your concert go?
It was very nice. Nice Diwali. Nice Diwali program. Many people. Nice food. All Indian. Very good.
Yes.
Dances.
Dances. Indian dances also very nice.
Dancing.
Yeah. Kathak dance. Kathak
Bharatanatyam.
Nice. Diwali is my favorite. It's my favorite festival. Excuse me, please.
Yes.
But I've only experienced it once in 1988.
Okay, long time.
Yes.
Wonderful time. Thank you. Namaste.
Namaste,
Get Maharaji lined up there and the beautiful flowers and the beautiful people who've come together. Om Shri Sache Maha Prabhu Ki Jai. Paramatma Ki Jai. Gurudev Bhagawan Ki Jai Satya Sangha Ki Jai. So Sri said we should speak about language being precise, like in Alice in Wonderland. Say what you mean and mean what you say. And there's a lot of great teachings in that book by Lewis Carroll. And when I was getting ready for satsang, I was considering peace and how it brings everything to you, particularly when you're aware of it, and particularly when you dive into it. And particularly when you see what it offers, not just when you're there and feeling that, although that's very important, but to really examine what peace brings. And I will bring this forward because it's, to me, it's so wonderful. I absolutely love mind-blowing spirituality. I like anything that will blow my mind out of its any fixed places. I don't want any fixed places in my mind. Sahar and I were speaking last night about something, I don't know what it was. It was some abstract conversation, which was very good. And yet, when we came back to the end of our conversation, because we see things quite differently, and our hearts are deeply united. And I said to Sahara, whatever you're saying, you don't know it's true. And he says, that's true. And I said, that's right. We don't know. We actually don't know. We're in our opinion, we're in our view, but we have no direct knowledge of anything that we're saying is absolutely so. And both of us were very happy to end with that note because the disagreements or the exchange of different views, although we always get along really well. Always comes down to this that we really don't know. And one of my favorite places in my life is not knowing anything, really. I mean, fundamentally, just being still and quiet and peaceful and observing life rather than opinionating about it. I looked up the word opinion today in the etymology dictionary, and it said to grab. And it said that it wasn't an actuality. It was a view or something that was, let me see if I can get it. Opinion. But I looked it up in the etymology. It says belief, imagine, guess, estimate, suspect, feel. So opinions are, well, they should be very temporary, in my view. My view doesn't have to be your view. I'm just here to say, when you stick yourself to an opinion, let the last sentence be, but I really don't know. Mm-hmm. We just completed the Bhagavad Gita, and I feel that I procrastinated on the last part because I really didn't want it to be done. How long have we been working with the Gita? Over 2 years. There's 18 chapters, and a couple of the times we've had to split the chapters. So, yeah, we've been with it for about 2 years now, maybe even over. And Krishna says, this is really wonderful. Are you ready? Krishna says at the end of the Gita, he's talking to Arjuna before Sanjay comes in and says, this is the most magnificent conversation. It just brings chills up my spine to have heard it. Mm-hmm. And anywhere that Krishna and Arjuna are, there's this wonderful, wonderful dialogue. So Krishna is telling Arjuna as one of his last teachings, as one of his teachings that complete everything. He says, Arjuna, give up all the dharmas. Now, the whole Gita is based on all the dharmas. Are you there? Anybody there?
Yes.
And Krishna says to Arjuna, he said, Arjuna, love me, devote to me, keep your mind centered on me, worship me. This is God. And I always say that when Krishna says in the Gita, I am, he's also speaking about you. Mm-hmm. I am is a term that is used by everyone. And it's my contention that all spiritual texts of great value are always speaking about you. Mm-hmm. So Krishna says, love me. Devote yourself to me. And surely, he says, and surely you will come to me. So I looked at that. Give up all the dharmas, Arjuna. Give up all dharmas. And when Krishna says, be only with me, consistently with me. Me is also oneself, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And oneself, Krishna says also in a couple of lines before, which he repeats many times in the Gita, and he points, this time he points to the Lord. He didn't point to himself as the Lord, which he did, and which is true in you as well. Once you see, you'll see that everyone and everything is but God. But he said, in the earlier, what did he say? Did I lose it? No, he said many times in the Gita, the Lord dwells in the hearts of all beings, Arjuna. What if you just took that in? And what if you just, I don't know about the word just here, because just seems to me to be a minimizer. What if you had only that. And you cultivated like a garden that within yourself, that God is in the hearts of all beings. And there cannot be any other than that. Dwells in the hearts of all beings. And then he says, give up all of the dharmas, Arjuna, and devote yourself to me. Me means Krishna. Me means myself, where God dwells in the hearts of all beings. Me means God in all things, and that is not three. That is not two. That is not one, and that is not zero. Then all of the dharmas are taken care of. When you sleep for God, when you eat for God, when you live for God, when you befriend God in everyone and in all of nature, when you are completely surrendered unto who owns your first breath, last breath, and the spectrum in between, then all dharmas are fulfilled. And how do you love God like that? Well, it doesn't have to be emotional, that's for sure. Can be sometimes, can be ecstatic. Mm-hmm. Like when you take a dip in the Ganges, ecstatic. Can be, I don't live for anything else but this. I don't know what it is, I don't know what it means, but this I live for. I don't know what anything means. But my heart is embedded in the fact that there can be nothing other than God. And what is God? All that you life, the whole of life, all the spinning of the earth, the movement of the water, the breath. The body. Everything that you experience is not other than what we call God, the creator, and that which is created and that which is beyond creation and is our very self nature. I saw something the other day that said, it was on YouTube or something like that. I watch YouTube. There was a statement that said, if I am God, then why do I need to worship? Well, the first premise is incorrect. This is why we go for clean language. If I am God, you can't personalize that whatsoever. It's not personal. It's not personal, but it's not personal. Belongs to everyone, is all things. So you can't start out if doesn't work either. This sentence must be, being that all is God, why do I need to worship? You don't need to worship. Worship is love. And isn't this what you want in life, love? Is it or isn't it? It is. It's the very thing that love and happiness, they're bound together like the sky and space. So you can go for that. Mm-hmm. All dharmas are complete and all dharmas are dissolved into the love of God. And when you're in the love of God, you'll create no karma. Hmm? Zero. So Krishna was always telling Arjuna how to overcome the retribution of karma. You know what retribution means? It means the coming and going. Like, you do this, okay, you're going to get this. You do this, you're going to get this. It's always like that. It's a pendulum. Karma is a pendulum. And no one can say there's great karmas, there's not easy karmas, there's difficult karmas. Karma means action. Doesn't mean anything else. So as the pendulum swings, Jesus says, you, what did he say? You reap what you sow. It's the same thing. Hmm? Therefore, anyhow, to love God according to Krishna, and I don't have anything that I would say that even dare to say that would analyze the Bhagavad Gita. Zero. I don't have to accept. I don't have to reject. I don't have to analyze. I don't have to do anything but receive what's being said, and it'll take its place. All karmas and all dharmas are complete in the love of God. Mm-hmm. We have a smudgy little camera here, don't we? Mm-hmm, we do. So that is what I wanted to say. And I did. I don't know why we have to speak about wanting to say. It's just crazy. You write a letter, you say, I want to say, and then you do it. And yeah, I don't get that. Anyhow. So that I felt was very important, that Krishna said, love me, devote to me. Think of me. Be with me, and surely you will come to me. Beautiful, absolutely beautiful. One of the last statements in the Bhagavad Gita. So, and Sri was talking about true language, language that conveys what you mean to say. And we were speaking here, you don't mind, do you? Yeah. We were speaking here earlier, and someone said that this was another person's truth. And you might have heard me say this a couple thousand times already, that no one has a personal truth. So you ought to stop talking like that. There's no such thing as a personal truth. If it's not true for you, and I say it's true for me, it's not true. So, direct, clean, clear, eloquent, noble language that says exactly what you mean to say. Mm-hmm. And then peace. You know, whatever comes into your life that is difficult is there for transformation. For a yogi, that's exactly what it is. It's there strictly to be transformed into peace. And peace is bliss. Hmm? And peace shows you, it's a doorway out of any stuck opinions, any stuck views, any emotional storms. I would say that would be enough. You can find this extraordinary, I would say also I would say it's also really silly, because I'm going to say it's just silly that you discover what peace brings to you, what it wipes off of the slate, how it calms the emotions, how your eyes open more clearly, how you're observant, how you are in a very simple, open without borders, space of neutral love. This is divine love, neutrality. Observing. Presence. What does it bring you? This is transformation. Whatever is coming your way, there's a great statement in India, this too will pass. And it always does. Any hands up? I see a lot of clouds. Antisa. Mm-hmm. Antisa, please.
Namaste, Shantimai.
Namaste, Antisa.
As you were speaking about this topic earlier, I was reminded of something that you shared, I don't remember when, some time ago, about how it's actually not possible to accelerate your journey towards realization, but you can prolong it.
Yeah.
And I really loved that. It very much kind of stuck in very, very deeply of like, there's no need to hurry, and also to be aware of the things that obstruct your way. And what you're speaking about in terms of both language and peace, and also what you and Sri were speaking about before we started around searching for darkness, really reminded me of that. And I just wanted to thank you for that reminder and also bring it back in, because it just feels like maybe, I don't know, I definitely need that reminder sometimes to just...
I love what you're saying, Antisa, because we were also talking, we were also talking about seeking our shadows and accepting our shadows and all of that. I would say to come to peace with everything, and then you're already in the light. Lightness, too. Enlightenment also means lightness, that a lot of the heavy weight that we put upon ourselves through thinking and emoting, neither emoting or thinking are bad, but how we go about it, right, is, self-defeating for sure. But we were speaking about, this idea to go and seek out the darkness, your darkness. You have to think about those things. You have to think that I'm dark. You have to think that something. You have to think that I'm not good. You have to think that, first you have to start it out with thinking. If you're not thinking about it, it's not there. Right? Isn't
yes.
it? Well, that has something to do with the crown of peace in one's heart, to come there. And I was asking, how do you get there? And Nenj said, by breath. And I was watching Thich Nhat Hanh today. I usually don't watch spiritual things. I usually watch other things. And it was really beautiful what he said. He was only on for a few minutes. And wonderful, 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 wonderful soul, Thich Nhat Hanh. And he said, simply to know your breathing. Most people don't know they're breathing. They just are breathing. So what does knowing that you're breathing, it brings peace. It erases a lot of, it erases everything that's bothersome, for a moment anyhow. And it brings you to presence to know that you're breathing. So it was really looking into a kaleidoscope or something. What was the center? The center was peace. What did it bring? It brought all of this. And we can agitate ourselves to hatred. We can agitate ourselves to judging ourselves and others. We can agitate ourselves to comparing ourselves to someone else or some other time. And all of this fantasy that goes on just upsets the entire being. For what? Why? So the yogi, which you are, will take every opportunity, particularly in difficult situations, to use that as, I'm not fond of the word practice, but we'll go with it. I exchange practice for being. Something you can't set aside because it's right here. Take every opportunity to practice the great wisdom teachings that come out of your heart and out of your soul and out of your intellect, yours. You've been reminded. Huh? Remember. Mm-hmm. So we don't take these situations where times are really tough, and you can't deny that. And you can't deny how you feel about it. But you can calm how you feel about it, and you can see beyond it. And you can transform those really hard times into the love of God. Mm-hmm. I don't know what God is. And I don't know how to love God, but I love God with all my heart and soul and all of my life. I have no idea what it means. I cannot teach it. But there's nothing in a precious life that is more rewarding. Good times or bad times, pleasure or pain does not matter. Because we come to our heart and leave everything that we thought we hated in the light of love. That's neutrality. It's maybe not an emotional, maybe it's not emotionally active. Maybe it's just, I refuse to do anything but that. I just refuse to do anything but that. And I don't know how it's going to go, but that's where I am. And I don't know what it means, but this is my commitment, that I love God in everything that exists. And I can't help myself anymore. It's not a choice any longer. So all of those emotional storms become like a calm sea. And you can see yourself there. You cannot see yourself in these emotional storms. All you can see is your opinions, your ideas, your for or against, your comparisons, your judgments, all of this stuff. Blah, 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 blah. When in fact, whatever is challenging you is God challenging God. And remember, God is personal and impersonal. When God is personal, then we devote ourselves to God. When it's impersonal, everything is God. And both are true at once, always. Never deflect from that. So you have the most wonderful opportunity, which is not easy. And the more difficult the challenge, the better it is. You know, I love how you smile around that, because I know you get it.
Huh? I experience it to be true every time.
You know, I got this thing going on, right? But the mood is so good. It doesn't really matter, only when I walk. But other than that, it doesn't matter, right? It's just something to overcome. And when you love someone, never, ever take that love away from them. And it doesn't have to be emotional boyfriend, girlfriend stuff. It's the love of Krishna. It's the love of God. It's the devotion. It's the devotee. It's the one who will do nothing other than that and dissolves all dharmas and all karmas in the light of that love.
To attempt to withhold that from someone else is like taking poison and expecting someone else to experience the pain of it.
Statement. I think that's one of the greatest statements. To drinking poison, expecting somebody else to die.
Yeah. Yes, I see that very clearly.
And the nobility, the natural nobility, like an oak has a natural nobility. We don't have to put it up to some kind of badge or award. The river is noble. This nobility sets in a very peaceful way. And actually, you begin to see the nobility of others and their struggles, and you let them go. You let the bird fly. You let them be as irritating as they can be. But you're patient because you love them, and you know that they will come home to themselves, not necessarily to you. And once they come home to themselves, they are home to the self in you. And it becomes completely different kind of view. Let's put it that way.
I saw in our conversations last week, sort of a conglomeration of all of them, of how quickly I myself, I can say, I can't really speak on behalf of anybody else, is how easily it is to be diverted from the core truth of it all. The moment your attention goes anywhere else, it kind of creates a shaking. At least for me, it creates a shaking and a sort of hollowness that doesn't have a center of gravity and a core stability anymore. And I could see that in myself. You say this a lot, and I feel very similarly. You know, when you speak to the choose the path that demands everything of you, it's like I cannot afford everything from you.
Only a yes. Yes.
Yeah. I can't afford to let my attention stray even a millimeter without experiencing a shaking, and it's like, thank God for the adjustment. Thank God for such a quick feedback that I'm off course, either with my attention or whatever it is that I'm doing, because it brings me right back in line really quickly and really efficiently.
That's the love of God. That's the devotion to God. Mm-hmm. You know, God meaning everything, everyone. Without measure, the grass, the crickets, the mosquitoes, the coming and the going, time, eternity. Our life is extremely precious. You remember the Tibetan point about how precious a human life is. And it's true, because we have more life in our, I always say, we have more life in our gut than populates the world. That's a fact. Billions and billions of bacteria in the gut. So the Tibetans say that if you went out into the ocean, just anywhere, and you took a ring and you just threw it anywhere, and a sea turtle popped its head through that ring, that's the chance you get of a human life.
It's cause to be in constant gratitude, actually. Even if nothing else seems to be going well, to be grateful to be in a body on this planet in this time.
Yeah, having the first breath, the last breath, and the spectrum in between. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the way to enlightenment is narrow, and it's difficult to pass as a razor's edge.
When I was a kid, I always wanted to be a tightrope walker.
Is that right? As a kid, I wanted to be a disciple.
I mean, I always was a perpetual student, but I would go to the circus and be like, wow.
I wanted to be a nurse or a fireman or anything. And
yeah,
I didn't
me either.
Was. I liked the word a lot. But I found out that, yeah, well, of course. And that's forever. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you, Antisa.
Thank you, Shantamai.
Pemini. And then we'll close after Pemini. You look good. Lower the screen a little bit. Bring the screen so that, yeah, we get a whole picture. That is.
Namaste, Shantimai.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. Thank you. I have a question about meditation. Because I meditate by myself with the breathing meditation. Sometimes I meditate with some friend. If they want to, they ask me, they come. I have my nephew, Leo, that you met years ago in India, and he wants to meditate with me. And yesterday, I was in a course about communication. This course was offered by the hospital because we have to do some courses to make some credits. And the lady that was offering the course, she is a very nice lady. And in the afternoon, we were all very tired. And after the lunch break, she said, why we don't meditate? We do some meditation. And I said, yes, of course. And the other people, you know, they never had this experience. And they said, well, we can do some, they say. So she asked me if I wanted to lead. And I said, yes. And I did the breathing meditation. I told the people how to do it, and that this meditation will bring a lot of peace to them, and they can do it anywhere at any time for how long they want, 1 minute, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 1 hour, 20 hours, whatever. So mm-hmm. I started to do this meditation, and I was alert. I was looking around my other colleagues, and I saw that some, they were really into it, and some it seems like they had some kind of discomfort with it.
So what?
Well, then I did it for a few minutes, and then I brought the people back to the room and ending the meditation. So I was wondering if it is correct to impose, it felt a bit like...
Hold on. You may not be imposing. They may not, it may be foreign to them, and they may be next week much more willing to come in. You meditated for 2 minutes?
Yeah, 2, 3, 4. Yeah.
You should at least give them 10 minutes.
Mm.
And you can tell the people, Pemini, I think it's great what you're doing. And you could tell the people, if it's uncomfortable for you, let's just sit silently for a moment and just give ourselves a break from the world. Mm? And you can follow me or just sit with us. And eventually, meditation will bring you a great deal of peace. Prayer is meditation. Work is meditation. Whenever you're really, really present here and now, you are in a state of meditation. I've always told you also that even having a cup of coffee with a friend in a cafe, as long as you are there and you're not rushing out and you're not somewhere else and you're not worried, then this is a meditation. So the point is presence. Just giving a little bit of time, a little bit of break. And I would give them more than 2 minutes.
Hey, yeah.
Yeah, because I'm not sure that they could have much experience with 2 minutes. But you may not be imposing at all. You could even ask them, would you like to be a part of this? And you know, maybe you just sit quietly with us just to take a break. And then you teach them how to focus their thinking on their breath.
Yes.
You look really good. I mean, you look good a lot. You look,
I'm look fine, good. Thank you.
Yeah, I can see that. Okay, thank you, Pemini.
Thank you.
Yeah, keep me informed if you want to. Max and Gabriel, and this will be the last of our, this will be the completion of our satsang.
Namaste.
Namaste, namaste.
I wanted to come back. When you talked about peace, you said, all the worries, all the problems are gone, at least for a moment. and I think that's quite interesting. It's one of those razor edge things. And I find when it's gone for not a moment, but for good. Because this is a moment that is beyond time.
That's sometimes, not always.
Yes. Okay.
Otherwise, Max, I'm going to hand over the satsangs to you. And I'm definitely.
Well,
I can't say that I
sure.
Cannot,
it's.
I cannot say for myself experience.
Yeah. I think you had this really beautiful conversation with Antesa, and she was looking into it. And I think it's really like the moment I'm aware of a resistance that's shaking me up. Already, peace is showing itself again.
True, what you're saying. That's really true. There's a demand. That's the demand of the pathway, is not to permit yourself to drown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, as Antesa mentioned, like when she said you can make it difficult. So I think it's so essential to be aware that it needs my cooperation that a negative thought can take hold of me.
To say the least, it needs your cooperation. Actually, you're the one who is transforming the difficulty into a peaceful place where you can see much, much broader. Yeah. But it's not that way every time.
Obviously, yes.
No, I want to make that clear because I feel that people get an expectation. And it's really, we can say it's a process. I'm not also fond of that word, but it is. And I'm touched to the core that you've discovered this, and Antisa, and anyone who will take the time in turbulent, turbulent moments to transform them and release them in a breath, in a quiet mind, in a loving heart. Absolutely.
Yeah, I want to add one more thing, and that is when I can deepen that realization that whatever is shaking me up has no substance.
That's right. Zero. So
then I stop making myself an object of what is happening to me.
And even that which is objective has no substance. So you can get right down to it. Yes. Isn't that beautiful?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I just want to make sure that, you know, to say this or that, I wanted to 100% make sure that people understood that, as you say, right behind that, it takes your participation. Mm-hmm. Nothing will happen without your participation. No transformation will happen. You'd be drowned in your sorrows, which will pass. This too will pass. Let it pass as quick as possible, no?
Yeah.
Without denying it. Transform it. It's up to you whether you do or you don't. Mm-hmm. That's the best thing of all.
Yeah, and what you say many times, I think, is so essential, that we don't need to work on the problems. Because that's like many times people say, okay, yes, I got this glimpse, but now I'm back. And when they are back, they start working on the problems again.
Well, the self-help community can be a real quicksand. Mm. You know what quicksand is?
Quicksand.
Walk in the sand and it starts to, yeah. And you can't get out of it. I remember in my early years, Max. I don't know why the dogs are barking. Well, she can come in. That whenever a problem was about to pass, I was always looking for the next one. I was always looking for when the next one was coming up. And you remember, I don't know if you know this or not, but I tell this story about a leaf outside my kitchen window. Mm. And it was in those times of, you know, when will another problem come up? I can't wait. And then we'd have this problem and this drama, and then it would soothe, and then we wanted another one. We were looking around the corner, where is it? And this leaf outside my kitchen window was hanging on a branch and just going through the wind, and just slight breeze. And my heart kind of said, not kind of, it said, if a leaf on a tree can be so beautiful, so peaceful, then why can't you? And that was a great master to me for a long time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The master emerges because you're looking for the master within. Transform. Learn to transform. And stay in that place, Antisa, you know. She's had some real turmoil with a situation, and I see her coming through it with, and she may face it more. I don't know. It's sometimes we calm it and then we bring it up again because our feelings are hurt or our feelings are directed in a certain way. But coming to peace is meditation. Committing to a love that you do not understand, you don't know how it works, but I refuse to hate anyone. And a nice talk with God in your heart. Namaste.
Namaste.
I don't think we have any. Adhikari, how dare you? How dare you, Adhikari? You heard what I said. What's up?
I did. I just thought it was, from my heart, important to share something. What's the vigilance? I think that's the tightrope. And the devotion. I just want to share what's so helpful to me. Not only the, it's breathing through both your nostrils, but when I focus or have awareness a lot on the left nostril, it's amazing what happens because I then can't play with a thought. And when a situation that's really challenging, it's like, that's the razor's edge. If I touch it, I'm in deep trouble. So I...
Let her in. I'm listening.
I'm aware, I'm breathing through both nostrils, but there's oftener focus on the left. And it's magical. You taught us this in the Gayatri Mantra.
Mm-hmm.
And I show it to a lot of people. It is so powerful. And what you said today, I realized that's part of the devotion to God.
Which part?
Well, that level of vigilance, that commitment to...
That's what you'd be committed to, right?
Say that again.
Once the way has hooked you in and freed you in so many ways and broadened your view, and opened your heart, and opened your mind, how could you be devoted to anything else?
Yes. I don't know how to explain it. The devotion calls you to go and go and go deeper in the devotion.
Did you remember in the Bhagavad Gita where Arjuna says, well, Krishna, what if somebody is going this spiritual way and they just decide to stop? And Krishna said, all of their actions, all of their auspicious actions will bear fruit, and in their next life, they'll be pulled upon the way like a magnet pulls iron, even beyond their own desire. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Adi.
Thank you.
Namaste. Namaste, everyone. Oh.
Thank you.